Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today.
This is your girl.
It's Tate McRae.
Which song is this? Girl.
I know.
This is Greedy.
Greedy. It's pretty good. Turn it up.
It is pretty good.
Yeah, I like this. She's no JoJo.
Isn't that Boston's own JoJo?
Damn right, that's Boston's own JoJo.
It's from Foxborough, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, went to Northeastern, I think.
Yeah.
But this is pretty good. Did you guys get the video I just sent you? And my son watching her.
George is such a cutie.
All time.
It's pretty funny. He's a stud. He's just like, yeah.
I told Arcand, like.
He's like, I'm only one, but I know I like this, whatever this is.
He's lusting after her, and then he's breaking his
busted
my nose.
He's the biggest man in that household.
Oh,
and
that's
he's
right.
Like,
by far.
He's going to be putting you on punishment.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah. He already is. Yeah. It's not even close. Anyways. That was a little Tate McRae there for you. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Bill Belichick was on the Let's Go podcast, his Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray, and he addressed the Mike Vrabel hire in New England. He'd already did this on Pat McAfee, but he elaborated further here with Jim Gray. Take a listen.
Yeah, I think Mike's a terrific coach. I thought he did a great job at Tennessee. His teams are always very well prepared. They're tough. They're competitive. They play very good situational football. I think he does an excellent job of developing players and building the team. He's a very good strategical coach and good game plan coach. So I think Mike will do well wherever he is.
Do you cheer for him?
Yeah, I mean, I love Mike Vrabel. I love all that Mike did for me and I have a lot of respect for his coaching career, whether it be at Ohio State, the Texans, Tennessee, and going forward.
Could you dig up the similar audio for when he said that about Mayo so we can really compare?
Yeah, sure.
The styles.
You'd be looking for a while, I think.
Like the closest.
Did he say anything about Mayo?
Not good.
I don't think he said a word about Mayo.
The closest thing to talking about Mayo was these are all the same players. They're certainly not soft.
Right.
They work hard. I feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. Last year we had the same players and we were really good. They basically said the coaching sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. And also, you want to have him come on and talk about the people replacing him? Who would ever do that, by the way?
Good point.
Yeah.
Touche.
Thanks. That just came to me. Part of it too. You know, like, what are you going to come on there and give Mayo a bunch of compliments your job and all
so,
that? Like, yeah.
But let me ask you, the substance of that comment. Percentage-wise, what percentage was his genuine feelings about Mike Vrabel, and what percentage was Mayo-related, like kind of making a point? 50-50, or is it 80-20? Does he love Mike Vrabel that much? And then there's a little extra in there just because it's nice to stick it to Vrabel, to Mayo, by saying this about Vrabel. I just wonder, because I think
part of it, but I do think he also likes Mike more maybe.
Absolutely.
And he also, Mike never coached under him.
Nope.
So it was always just a player-coach relationship, and then he coached against him. Mike beat him. You know, like
he pushed his buttons more than beating him, too.
Definitely, yeah.
So it's not like they were just, like, he didn't Sean McVay it. Vrabel did not Sean McVay it. Coach, you're the greatest coach of all time. I just want to standing here is the greatest thing of it. You know, I want to bow down to you. Mike Vrabel, intended to slap Belichick around when they battled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he took that upon himself, and they did it. They did it in a playoff game. They did it in the regular season, the comments, the whole thing. So he did not sort of fade into the background with his relationship with Bill, but I think there's a genuine respect there. I think Bill respects people, A, who do their jobs, who are good at their jobs, work, all that. But I also think Bill respects people. Vrabel used to push Bill's buttons as a player.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only one. He was literally, for a time period there, the only one that would push Bill's buttons. Remember, he wore the Giants helmet and jersey to the field.
He was going on about the Giants.
You never shut up
about
the Giants or whatever, so I figured I'd put a Giants.
Yeah.
Then he had an inappropriate reference about, I can't even say. Move on.
Inappropriate reference?
Yeah. I just did 8 minutes on Tate McRae. You can tell me what the inappropriate reference is.
Let's just say Bill was telling the team once that when they were good, I think 07,
mm-hmm.
like the media is going to come in here and they're going to be giving you oral pleasure.
Got
and
it.
And he used it that way.
Okay.
All over the place, this, 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 this. And he went on like a 15-minute speech basically mm-hmm. to like, don't read the press clippings.
Right.
And he finished this very serious speech and Vrabel raised his hand. What, Mike? Bill, can we get back about that oral pleasure? When does that come? Like, and it's like, it must have driven Bill nuts, but also in a way he probably liked the levity in a sense.
Sure.
But like that's what
every
he
once
did.
In a while Bill would crack, like with Randy Moss and the Halloween party thing. Like, you know, there's every once in a while.
But the only guys that can get away with that, Moss, Vrabel, Brady, Gronk, Edelman.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not borderline Hall of Fame caliber.
And by the way, all those guys either got traded or pushed out the door, too. So you don't get away with it for so long.
But right? Don't even think of doing that if you're not Hall of Fame. For example, remember when Brendan
Schooler
handed him the ball?
Oh, yeah, he ran over. Yeah, yeah,
it was like,
sure.
And Bill was like,
who the bleep are you?
What do I do with this? Get this the hell out of here. And that's an all-pro special teamer. But
sure,
you're not in the world of addressing Bill Belichick in that way, in my opinion. But Vrabel was.
Yeah, I'd say that. I'd agree with that there. Bill talking got me thinking about the coaching carousel, which is still very much moving right now to the point where Ben Solak, that's Solak with an S, over at ESPN, made some predictions about where certain guys are going to go. And actually, this wasn't Solak. This was Graziano.
Yeah.
Dan Graziano had this. And for you want to go through the whole thing, we don't really have to. But here's what he says. He says the Bears will get Brian Flores. He says the Cowboys will get Kellen Moore. Jaguars will get Joe Brady. Raiders will get Ben Johnson. Saints get Aaron Glenn. And the Jets get Arthur Smith. Four out of those six guys, offense guys.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's still an offensive league. It's
sure.
why everybody wanted offense here, even though they love Vrabel. And there was
everybody wanted Vrabel.
Torn.
Yeah.
There was some torn.
Right.
The, you know, Jones and Key, like the modern, the same people that like receivers and look at the receiver world and teams that have double receivers and modern football and all of that crap.
Oh, that's crap? Having receivers?
I think.
How to go with no receivers?
Not great.
Yeah, not
it was
great.
Crap.
Having receivers is kind of nice.
But I would argue, like, Miami went not nice with two elite receivers.
True.
Really good receivers. I don't know if you want to call them elite.
Well, yeah, I don't know if Hill, I mean, Hill was banged up this year, but yeah, Waddle didn't do much.
Right.
And he's, well, except against the Patriots, he had 150 yards. But yeah, I agree.
There's
all the teams that are still alive, I mean, for the most part, you got pretty good receivers playing, I'd say.
You need to have playmakers.
Yeah.
If you don't have playmakers, you're not going to win. You can find them in different ways. If you want to tell me Saquon Barkley or Jahmyr Gibbs is your biggest playmaker, okay, figure that out. But you need playmakers. But I just think there's no one way to do it. I also think that list is sort of a debacle. Like the marriages, in my opinion, aren't very good.
Which ones do you
all
not
of them
like?
Not named Joe Brady. Joe
really?
Brady makes sense to me because that's your theory. You got what should be a great quarterback. Pair him up with a great young offensive mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Joe Brady did it with Joe Burrow. Joe Brady did it with Josh Allen.
Yep.
Go do it with Trevor Lawrence, right?
You don't like Glenn on the Saints?
This is disrespectful. To me, the Saints are insignificant.
Like, I mean, it's that in that division, you don't have to be very good to be significant.
No, but then they'll be fodder for a real playoff team, even if they win the division.
Maybe, I
feel
guess,
like. I just...
Still a playoff
who's
team.
Their quarterback?
Derek Carr.
Is he?
Or Rattler.
Is he?
Or that guy that was that guy that was posing all sexy?
Yeah.
What was that guy's name? You know what I'm talking about? He was like doing the Zoolander thing in all his pictures.
Jake Haener.
Jake Haener. Thank you very much. Yeah, one of those.
So they
guys.
Don't have one. Thank you.
Probably not. Yes. Okay.
And
they also have like $70 million of dead cap that I think they're dealing with. So I think they're going for a full rebuild at some point.
I think they are not an NFL team right now.
Well, like then then you wouldn't want any coach with them. But I think that Glenn's a good coach. And
I feel bad. He's
going to
go there and then I wish him luck in his second tenure, like a different team.
And this is, by the way, not these are just predictions.
No, it's just guesses.
Made, but yeah.
But do you think Brian Flores and Caleb Williams seems like a good fit?
Probably not.
He bullied Tua, and Caleb Williams is a unique personality.
Yeah,
we have to say, and on some level,
a little sensey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that works. Ben Johnson, great. And it just hit me. Wasn't Ben Johnson the roided up sprinter in the Olympics in the late 80s?
Yeah.
I don't know why I've never thought of that before.
Yeah, Ben Johnson. Who was that guy he kept going up against? He had like a rival.
There was a rivalry.
What was his name? I forget. But yeah, okay, it was Ben Johnson. That was his name.
But Ben Johnson in Vegas
proves that steroids make you fast. I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
Carl Lewis was in Ben Johnson?
According to Google.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought it was someone more contemporary.
Lewis won the first eighth, and Johnson won 7 out of 9 races after that.
Got it. Once he juiced up.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I mean, I think it's more than alleged, so I can say he juiced up.
No, no, no. I think he got stripped of his mat,
yeah,
right?
So or something okay. like that. Yeah. Yeah, he was cheating. But Ben Johnson in Vegas, it's fun that you're pairing him with Brady. Brady doesn't play. Who's his quarterback? Doesn't have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And not even a direct path to a quarterback. I mean, I guess they could trade up.
They could trade up from where they are. They're sixth, right?
To get one of the crappy quarterbacks in this draft?
I don't know. I don't think either of them are crappy quarterbacks.
Okay.
I think they're both better than Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. So, I mean, you know,
yes.
Whether you get Cam Ward or you get Shadur, I think both of those guys would be an upgrade.
But they're not as good as Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix.
Yeah, maybe
Michael
not.
Penix.
I mean, but that doesn't mean they can't be respectable and that Ben Johnson can't get the most out of them. I think that's all.
I don't think either will be starting in 5 years in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah. Nope.
Okay.
I think they will be bouncing around or gone already. I think it's going to be a debacle. So Ben Johnson, no quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fun, right? You think he's a great offensive mind.
Yeah.
Most people do. But a great offensive mind with no quarterback is kind of useless.
Yeah.
He's a painter without paint.
Well, Arthur Smith took Russell Wilson, who was a veteran, and got them to the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, the Raiders could end up doing something. It's not like there's a lot of great options.
I actually think
somebody
that would
do something like that.
I would go after Sam Darnold if I were Ben Johnson.
Right, yeah. There's
That's
a guy
who
would
I would.
Available, sure.
And go into it with an open mind. It's a bridge. Give him decent money, but a two-year, whatever, $40 million deal or something.
Yeah.
Don't go crazy.
Aaron Rodgers might be available.
I'd rather have Sam Darnold.
I probably would too.
What's the other pairings? Because I think
Arthur Smith and the Jets. Which, speaking of which, but yeah,
You don't have a quarterback, and I'm not sold. Arthur Smith is some great offensive mind.
Yeah,
I don't like these are very underwhelming to me. Now, what's whelming to me? I don't know if that's how that works, but what's whelming?
Not
to me,
overwhelmed or underwhelmed.
Nope, just whelming to me is the wild cards. You hear these like the Cowboys could go after Lincoln Riley,
right.
Or. You know, Dion, obviously, Marcus Freeman. I'm more intrigued by those guys than some of these guys.
I kind of am too.
Arthur Smith, I mean, he's offense, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
He coaches offense, but I think he was kind of a bit of a boob in Atlanta. And I think maybe he's living off the FedEx money and not really that motivated.
That's entirely possible, but he did a good job with Vrabel in Tennessee. So, I mean, it's not like he never did anything.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, yeah. Oh, coordinator, sure.
Yeah.
No. This is for head
coach. As a head coach, I know. I'm just saying.
If I'm a Jets fan, I do not feel excited about that.
Mm.
That doesn't get me hot and bothered.
Yeah, probably not.
If I'm Garrett Wilson,
I think
you got to
go bigger than that if you're the Jets at
this
point. You know, like Saleh and these guys, like they've cycled through some Gase and, you know, whoever.
When Belichick called, you should have said yes.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm not saying it would have worked, but I feel like you need to do that.
Yeah.
Put your ego away. I know he took pot shots at you, Woody, and all these things, and your kids don't like him because he's old and whatever. But
Brick out on Bill.
They need
the Xbox said no.
They need to swing for the fences.
Yeah.
I think Joe Brady's the only interesting one on there.
Hmm. Interesting.
Other than the Patriots, who nailed the hell out of it.
Sure. By the way, you mentioned the draft. Dane Brugler, I just met her, over at The Athletic.
It's no better in audio than it was on the email.
Did a mock draft. And
Wise wants you to do the read right now because that was cheesy.
Okay, sure. Here's what he had, Brugler, for his mock draft. Cam Ward to the Titans, first overall. Abdul Carter to the Browns, second overall.
Ooh.
Travis Hunter to the Giants, third overall. You just heard my heartbreak.
Wait a minute. Miles Garrett and Abdul Carter on opposite ends of the line?
Hmm.
And don't the Patriots play the Browns this year?
They do.
Drake?
They do.
Drake, call in sick that day and go back to Mexico.
Yeah. Tet McMillan going to the Patriots at fourth overall. How's that grab you?
I don't love it.
Why not?
To me, a receiver going fourth overall has to be like a generational talent, has to be a wow. He's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's good.
He's the next best guy after Hunter, I'd say, yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Or is Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, like you start to
next best receiver, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think he's a top five. So you're going to tell me we got two generational receivers here? Two top five worthy receivers here?
I think you got one for sure.
I know
I think
you do.
McMillan in the right setting could be that, but I don't know if he could be that with the Patriots.
No. If you're worth the fourth pick in the draft, F the setting. You don't need a setting.
Okay, well, Calvin Johnson was a Hall of Famer in Detroit, but
right.
If he had gone to a good team, then he would have won a bunch of Super Bowls, is what I'm saying.
No, but like, he was a Hall of Famer.
He couldn't do it himself, is my point.
Yeah, he could. He was a Hall of Famer.
Right, but what did he do? They didn't do anything.
He put up Hall of Fame numbers.
Sure, and
so,
you put up numbers. I'm fine. I'm saying, like,
I'll take
that's
numbers.
Not necessarily enough to get you.
No, I'm saying I don't think he'll be that. He needs to be Calvin Johnson. He needs to be. I mean, Marvin Harrison is supposed to be a generational receiver for them. We'll see if that comes to... Even A.J. Green, where did he go? Top seven? Somewhere up there?
Right, yeah, out of Georgia.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
Like, Jamar Chase, where did he go? If you go that high in the draft, I'm expecting you to be truly elite, truly blue chip. I'm not sure he is.
I'm not sure he is either. The Patriots definitely need help at wide receiver more than I think they needed a cornerback. So if it's between him and Will Johnson, I'd take him. But yeah, so point well taken. Will Johnson goes to Jacksonville fifth in this mock draft. And then Shedeur Sanders falls to sixth and goes to the Raiders without a trade up.
Tom Brady, Ben Johnson, and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Star power in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if you have talent. But that would be interesting.
I'll tell you what, Boulder is not that far from Vegas, and I know that because I made that drive a few times. And it is a nice drive. Very scenic. You go through Arizona, you see the canyon, you see all this stuff. You go through Colorado, then you get to the desert. And once you get to the desert, it's tough. It's
how long does that take? Three, four
it's like 12 hours.
Oh, 12?
To drive from Boulder down to Vegas.
Yeah, I thought.
I think 12 hours is a long drive.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was maybe it wasn't 12.
Were you all hopped up on Lucky Energy?
No, it was like four of us, and we all took turns driving, and then we all split the hotel room, and some of us had to sleep in the car. That's what happened. But yeah, it was fun.
Wait, you split a hotel room that you didn't get to sleep in?
Well, it was one bed, four guys.
You couldn't ask for a cot, or?
I think I slept in the tub one night.
I've slept in a tub.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Not proud of it.
11 hours and 4 minutes.
But I did it. I think I was in the room. I couldn't sleep, and so I went out to the cars. That's what happened one night.
It's honestly not a bad move.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
That's why I slept in a tub. I had a roommate at a Super Bowl like the first night there, and he snored like I've never heard. And I had to go in the tub and put a pillow over my head to try to sleep.
That's rough.
They switched my room the next day. That was thanks.
That's
thanks,
good.
Fred Kirsch. Appreciate you.
There you go. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. After Dan Ball gets you caught up on what's trending, we're going to do an exercise that Andy Hart said was the hardest exercise he's ever done in his life. And that is we are going to rank the best quarterback-coach combinations in the NFL, and we're going to find out where Drake May and Mike Vrabel land on that list as things currently are right now. Now, this is a weird time to do it because there's some teams with no coaches and teams with no quarterbacks, but we're going to do it anyway. That's coming up right after Dan Ball. Get you caught up on what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Bruins were back in the win column last night as they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning at TD Garden 6 to 2.
And now attacked over the line, Marchand with a step, shoots, he scores!
Judd Surratt the call on Nesson. That goal for Marchand proved to be the game winner. He finished with 2 points, while David Pastrnak and Pavel Zacha both had three. Jeremy Swayman made a season-high 43 saves in the win. The Celtics, meanwhile, hit the road tonight to play the Toronto Raptors. Tip-off is at 7:30. Boston is 28-11 on the season, while Toronto is 9-31. WEEI's Justin Turpin confirms that the Celtics currently have a clean injury report for tonight's game. In NFL news, the Colts have been designated as the home team next season for the NFL's first regular season game in Berlin. It will be the fifth regular season game played in Germany overall, which has hosted NFL games in Munich and Frankfurt since the 2022 season. In coaching news, the Chicago Bears are conducting their in-person interview with Mike McCarthy this afternoon, their second known candidate to interview in person after Ron Rivera did so on Sunday. The Jets, meanwhile, completed an interview with Broncos defensive coordinator Vance Joseph for their head coach position, and former Jets head coach Robert Saleh has head coach interviews with the Jaguars, the Raiders, and now the Dallas Cowboys. And finally, the Red Sox have acquired 27-year-old catcher Blake Sable from the San Francisco Giants for international bonus pool money. Chase Shugart was DFA'd to create roster space. Sable hit 313 in 11 games with San Fran last season. He's played 121 regular season games in the MLB overall. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons with Arcan and Hart coming up right after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Really, other than that, I think, making some plays, I think that's part of my game, and I'm proud of, sometimes extending some plays and making plays with my feet and picking up a first down on third down with my feet. It can go a long way with an offense, so I look forward to hopefully helping do some more of that, and do a better job of finding these guys, open and let them do their thing.
It's WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, that was Drake May. And the reason why we're playing that and why we're talking so much about Drake May today is because Drake May and Mike Vrabel, now a team, now a duo, now a QB coach combo. And for some reason, people like comparing those and ranking those, and we decided we do that too.
Yes.
So let's go ahead, and without any further ado, and again, this is an odd time to be ranking all of these things because there's several teams with no coach and several teams without really much of a quarterback situation either. So that will affect the rankings, I'd say, in a very serious way. But let's go ahead and lead things off here with your number one coach and QB combination, Andy Hart.
This one was easy. This is not where the list got difficult. This exercise was not hard. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. Hall of Famers, GOATs, whatever you want to call them, winners, the perfect tandem. There's a reason they've won two Super Bowls in a row, and there's a reason they could win a third.
Yep, they're my one and two as well. I think they're probably going to three-peat this year just based on the fact that they got Houston in the division round. And listen, I like Houston's pass rush, I do. But against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in the play, like, come on.
Upset alert.
Listen, it would be a massive upset.
Are we doing picks this week?
We can.
Then
I think I'm so far behind that it's not even, like, there's not even a point. And also, it's just this week, and then that's it, so.
Well, I mean, we could, like, do them in the crossover next week.
No.
Okay.
Not doing that.
Screw you then.
That's the end of that.
Especially if I'm like way behind. I don't need to further embarrass myself.
Arcand, welcome back. You're down by seven.
As I try and get back in it. There's no point. There's only three games left. I don't even think I could come back if I want to. All right, so that's one. We both have the same number one of Mahomes and Reed. Who's your number two?
Number two would be Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh,
mm-hmm.
even though I think there is a drop-off right there just from one to two, especially in the coaching side. I think Harbaugh is a good, not great coach. Reed is a great coach, but that's the number two tandem.
Yeah, they're number three for me. My number two was Dan Campbell and Jared Goff.
Wow!
I put them at number two because Campbell, I think, has now established himself as a very good, if not great, coach in the NFL. And I think Jared Goff in Detroit has really come a long way from what he was in L.A. and is now... We always, and you, I know you don't love him, but I think that you can't really look at what he's done here in the body of work and not consider him a top quarterback in the league. So I know he's not going to win the MVP this year or anything. He was in the running, and he has been terrific. I mean, really, he's exactly what that team needs.
I would
I put them together.
To put a pin in that so we can revisit that to talk about both guys
mm-hmm.
next year after Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson leave.
Yeah,
I think both
that's fair, yeah.
are propped up products of the coordinators. I think Dan Campbell's a good coach. I think Jared Goff's an average quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and I think both could get exposed next year.
Okay, so who's your number three then?
My number three is the quarterback I think very much deserves to be here, Josh Allen, and Sean McDermott. And it's being heavily carried, in my opinion, by Josh Allen. But I also got to give Sean McDermott for the... He just keeps winning the AFC East. Like, he keeps just getting the job done. And some would say, well, he's got the best quarterback. Why don't you check in with Zach Taylor and what he's doing in Cincy?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great quarterback and better weapons.
Yeah.
And he can't win. So I got to give Sean McDermott some credit, I guess. So, yeah, that's my number three.
Okay.
Spot.
I have him in my top five, but he's not at three. Three for me is Harbaugh and Jackson. It's sort of the same thing. Jackson's tremendous, obviously. I think Harbaugh's good, not great coach. And he has a longer body of work, I'd say, than someone like Campbell, who's kind of emerged and really taken the league by storm here in the last couple of years. Harbaugh is very steady. He's a little like Tomlin in that way.
Yeah.
And he's good, but you don't often expect the Ravens to make a deep run there, and that's with one of the best QBs and the best players, best weapons in the entire NFL. So I'd say Jackson props him up there, but they're still a good combination.
I also hold against him sort of the Brady bitch slapping on the Know the Rule book and some of the
right.
things he had issues with the Patriots. And also, this is typical Andy overreacting to one minor thing. A couple of years ago, there was, I believe, a playoff game where they scored to either go for two for the win or tie it with a kick.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked Mark Andrews, what do you want to do? You want to go for two? And I'm like, You're the head coach. Hmm. I'm supposed to think you as a Hall of Fame coach, and you're asking the tight end what he wants to do?
Yeah,
you didn't even ask your quarterback. You asked your freaking tight end. So I'm not the biggest Harbaugh fan, but he deserves to be up there. My fourth one?
Yes.
Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford.
It's four for me, too.
McVay is obviously a great young coach, multiple Super Bowls, different quarterbacks, the whole thing, the mm-hmm. systems. I give him even credit for preparing coordinators and his offshoots and what they go to do.
Yeah.
And Matthew Stafford is really good. He's just really good. He even gets away with things that piss off Bill Belichick when he flicks the ball forward and Bill thinks it should be intentional grounding. Yeah. That's the one time I've ever agreed with the refs. I had no problem with that call. I thought that was the right call. He pitched it at the feet of Puka Nacua.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Peyton Manning made a career of it, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be sacked, throw it at the feet of somebody. So get over yourself, Bill. It's not all about you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My four was also McVay and Stafford. I think that you got to look at the body of work there and another trade that was made. And really, it's just the consistency. It's the consistency of McVay, the way they were able to rebuild on the fly, and how Stafford, I think, has just been really... I know he only has the one championship, but he's been a very, very solid NFL quarterback. Like, he's
awesome.
He's gonna be in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's very, very good, and he's kind of flown. His career's kind of flown under the radar.
Yep. Well, Detroit
in a weird way
does
yeah.
that to you for yeah. that time. I also think his overall talents have flown under the radar. Everybody just thinks he gets by with a gun.
Yeah,
and he has a great arm. He's more athletic when people give him credit.
And he's really smart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I just think the total package at quarterback, he's kind of gutted. My next one is going to be the first controversial one, I believe.
Okay.
Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy.
That's pretty high for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have them. If you're keeping track, you had Dan Campbell and Jared Goff too.
Yes.
I have Shanahan and Purdy ahead of them. I think Shanahan is a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think injuries were an issue this year. I don't think he's a great coach. I just want to be clear on that. There's a reason he's five and not up in the top couple.
Right.
And I think Brock Purdy... I just think it's so disrespectful to sort of ignore the winning. And I know he's got talent around him, and I know he's paired up with a good coach and a scheme and all of that, but he has to do it, and not everybody has been able to do it there. So I got Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan at number five.
All right, number five for me is McDermott and Allen. McDermott drags him down a little bit. Allen boosts him up right there, but I think that my top five is really top five quarterbacks. Mahomes, Jackson, Stafford, Allen, and Goff, who I'd consider to be probably maybe top five in the league right there. I'm weighing more of this on the quarterback, I think, than the coach. I think that's part of it as I was looking at my list. Like, I think I'm more sort of QB heavy with this.
Okay.
Because it's easier to evaluate quarterbacks than coaches, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
You can see their stats, you can see their numbers, you can see what they're doing. With coaches, you have to be watching every single game and see them and know what they're doing in certain situations and all that. And, you know, McDermott, in the games that I've seen against him, he's not a total bozo or anything like that, but he hasn't been super impressive, I guess. You know, that's why they lose to Reed and Mahomes every year. So I have him down at number five, but I don't know. I feel like that whole top five is pretty fluid, other than number one.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's going to start to tail off, I think, including the point of this exercise when we, at some point, will inject Drake May and Mike Vrabel into this conversation. But not yet. At my sixth spot, I have, I think, another controversial one that the Houston Texans have DeMeco Ryans and C.J. Stroud.
That's mine, too.
Oh, son of a bitch. I wanted
that's
to be
Stroud, Ryans and Stroud. That's my number six, yeah.
We've spent too much time together.
Yeah, we really
they
have.
They should break us up.
We're on, like, the same cycle now.
Oh, gross.
It's true. What? Truth hurts.
Aunt flow?
That's what happens when a lot of women all live together. They all.
Is that true?
I'm not denying that.
True, yeah.
Why do you know so much about it? Why does Stiz know so much about it? What is going on in this room?
Why do you not?
Yeah,
I think that's relatively common knowledge.
That is pretty common.
I thought everybody knew that.
I avoid knowledge of anything in that world.
I avoid knowledge.
Wife must love that.
Could have stopped there.
No, my wife hates it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That's why I had a daughter in part, and I'm glad she's now a teenager. Anytime there's like girl talk, you guys go have girl talk. I don't need to know about anything or anyone.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Dad.
Yeah, good stuff. Anyway.
Next up, finally a first-year coach
mm-hmm.
that I think some people might have had higher until the playoffs happened. Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
And the questions about Herbert. We had a text earlier that was like, you guys, it's only the media that loves Herbert. No, everybody loves Herbert, but everybody is eyes wide open to he's going to start winning playoff games and not making mistakes with the season on the line. And you mentioned Harbaugh, the defense, the whole team kind of came up short mm-hmm. in that game. I still think they're a pretty good combo. Like, you can't put Drake May and Mike Vrabel ahead of Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert, right?
Right, and I didn't, but yeah.
But like, to me, both of those guys aspire to be the other guy. Like, mm-hmm. Vrabel wants to be a program builder like Jim Harbaugh has proven himself a program builder.
Right.
And we compare Drake May to maybe being Justin Herbert. So I can't put them ahead of those guys.
Yeah, I understand that. I had Ryan's and D'Amico, Ryan's and Stroud there as well in my top six. And I don't know. After that, I have LaFleur and Jordan Love. So there's
high.
I have them high. And
did you
know
watch Love the other day?
I did.
Sucked.
I saw him burn out. I did see that. But I think in terms of the combination of what they are, they had a very good season. LaFleur had a very good season. Love had a very good season. They had a bad playoff game. That's true. But I do think that if you're a Packers fan, you know, there's problems with what you saw, obviously. And Love, I thought, had terrible body language in that game. But a season like that, I mean, to watch your team go through a season like that in that division, it's not easy to do.
No.
And I think that they still have heights that they can reach. So I put them a little higher.
So here is where I slide in your guys, mm-hmm. Campbell and Goff. You have them at number two. I have them at number eight. So I'll just skip right to my next one. Sean Payton and Bo Nix, I have at number nine.
Okay.
Which could be a
higher than I am.
Yep. And it could be a precursor to something interesting. Can I give you my number 10 before I pass the baton?
Go ahead.
The 10th best coach quarterback combo in the National Football League, Mike Vrabel and Drake May.
All right. Top 10.
You're top 10, New England. Hmm. The most important things in football, that combo, you are top 10. You might have earned the number one pick, but this is a new season. You're top 10, baby.
How about that? Top 10.
You didn't like that, huh?
No, I mean, listen, I wasn't surprised by it. You'd have Vrabel as one of the all-time great Patriots coaches already, and he hasn't coached a single game yet, so I'm not at all surprised that you have him that high. I don't have him that high yet, and it's because mostly of May, I hate to say it. Like, I think May had a good rookie season, not a great one. I'm not sure what Mike Vrabel's going to be as a team with him, and if that person, those two personalities are going to clash and mesh well or not. It's going to be different rating them as opposed to teams that we don't cover every day, because we're not going to see those relationships and how they sort of foster themselves over the course of the year. We will see that with Vrabel and May. I had them lower than that. My number nine was Quinn and Daniels. And number 10, I have Harbaugh and Herbert. So those are rounding out my top 10 there. I think that Quinn and Daniels getting to the playoffs and then winning a playoff game, you get a lot of points for that for sure. And for Harbaugh and Herbert, it's kind of the same thing. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to be good in L.A. Herbert, he did lose a bunch of his weapons, but had a good regular season and then came out in the playoffs and laid a big egg there. Maybe that's just the book on him. But again, now that he has a real coach, let's see what they can do together. I think that the future's bright for them, just like I think it is for Green Bay. At 11, I had Taylor and Burrow. And it was, again, boosted up there by Joe Burrow. He carries this one and I think puts them past some other combos where the coach might be a little better, because I don't think much of Zach Taylor.
No, but when
you have a guy like Burrow, I'm sorry, that you're great on a curve. You have to.
And this is where I really started to struggle. And you talked about, what do you weigh more, the coach or the quarterback?
Right.
And it's like, because I had Zach Taylor and Burrow at 13, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't think any more highly of Joe Burrow.
Right.
But I think Zach Taylor is the reason they don't make the playoffs. Zach Taylor is the reason why they start slow every season. Zach Taylor is a bad head coach. For example, my number 11 is Mike Tomlin and question mark.
And I think, have Tomlin Wilson was what my that's how I ranked him. But yeah.
But I think Mike Tomlin is a really good coach, a Hall of Fame caliber coach. I have to give him credit for the way he's succeeded and heads. And I know in Pittsburgh they might look at this differently, because there was talk of, should he be out? Should they trade him? Now, he poo-pooed that talk very quickly.
All right, we don't have to go through these.
No, let's go to the
end. It's getting pretty bad.
I'd rather go to the end.
You got to May and Vrabel. How about I go down the list of mine until I get to them?
Jesus,
okay?
How long is this going to take?
Not too long.
You hater.
At 11, Taylor and Burrow. Then I got Bowles and Mayfield at 12. Peyton Nix, 13. Tomlin Wilson, 14. O'Connell Darnold, 15. McDaniel Tua, 16. Vrabel May, 17.
I don't care for any of this.
No?
The O'Connell Darnold, screw them. Darnold had one great year because of the coach. So I can give you the coach.
Right.
The quarterback's a fraud.
Fine.
We all know he's a fraud.
But he had a good season.
Yeah.
And
you know what? Well,
he may not be the quarterback there next year either. And that's
who would have had a better season if Drake May played for the Vikings with Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson?
But Drake May certainly would have,
okay,
I think.
Thank
but
you.
Yeah. So
for
what?
Anyway,
you could say that about a lot of these guys.
Now, can we do the back end?
Sure.
Did you not do the back end?
I did the back end, but a lot of them I wasn't sure how to rank them, because there's no coach or quarterback in some of these instances. Like the Jets, for example. I don't know who the coach or quarterback is. I don't know who either one is on the Raiders. And what was the other one?
There
was
the Saints I have down there.
Saints, yeah.
Those are my bottom
three. Not
really
sure. Okay.
Raiders, Jets, and Saints, because I don't know who the coach or quarterback of any of those teams are, and I don't think it's going to work out well. The last two teams I had that actually have, I'm not sure they both have quarterbacks, but the fourth to the bottom, I had Callahan and Will Levis, and the fifth to the bottom, I had Shane Steichen and Anthony Richardson.
Okay.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
Just ahead of that, I did have Canales and Bryce Drew. What the hell is his name? Young. Not
Bryce
Drew.
Young, yeah.
Who the hell is Bryce Drew?
Bryce Drew was a
shooter from somewhere, NCAA tournament star.
He was one of the Drew brothers. There was like a whole bunch of Drew brothers, right?
Yeah, he was
Bryce Drew.
Son of Mr. and Mrs. Drew.
Something else. There was like four brothers, I thought, who all played. It was named Drew, right? Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway. Or no, maybe it was the JD Drew. JD and Steven Drew. Was there a Bryce Drew?
No, you were right on the basketball part.
Okay.
Currently the head coach at Grand Canyon, also at Vanderbilt. I'm trying to find out where he played.
Did he have brothers who played too?
Looks like older brother Scott, I'm going to butcher this.
Valparaiso.
Valparaiso, yeah, uh-huh. Thank you. Both played there, and his dad, Homer Drew, played there as well.
Homer
Steel
Drew.
Steel trap.
So so you were all on it.
Nailed it.
Okay, very good. So, as far as QB and coach combinations go, there is a lot of, there's the elites, obviously,
you
up
had
in the top 10, 17th.
70, yeah.
17.
Wow, that's a big divide between the two of us.
I had him ahead of Sirianni
optimism.
And Hurts. I had him ahead of McDonald and Smith, Gannon and Murray, Morris and Penix, Steichen and Richardson, Canales and Young, and Callahan Levis. The rest of them at the bottom, like the bottom eight, either didn't have a coach or didn't have a quarterback.
Sure. 17th.
Yeah, I had him 17th.
I don't care for the negativity in this town.
That is not negative.
Or Arcan's a realist.
That is a coach who has never coached a single game with this guy and a
coach
quarterback.
Of the year.
Well, 3 years ago, and hasn't coached once with this quarterback. And also, when the last time he had a young quarterback, it didn't really go all that great. And a young quarterback in Drake May, who I don't think has proven that he's ready for that conversation of the guys in the top 10 yet. I don't think that he's established himself like that yet. You don't think that either, Andy. Come on.
Hate is going to hate.
You don't think that either. You don't think
what?
You should be talking about him like you talk about Goff and
no, I actually think their
Jackson
strength,
and Allen and the rest of those guys. Come on.
Their strength is in their average. I think they're when you average them together, they're both solid.
Oh, I thought you were
going
to say they're
really
both
good.
Average.
No, but like I have more faith in that combo. Mm-hmm. You're right. I don't think either of them you can make a strong argument is top seven or whatever elite right now. No, but I think they're both really good. And when you have two that are really good, that puts you ahead of some other teams that like Zach Taylor stinks. I'll take Vrabel over Zach Taylor.
Okay.
May is not better than Burrow.
Right.
But the combo is better together.
Mm, we'll see. We'll see if they're better together.
The combos.
Taylor and Burrow went to a Super Bowl. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Oh, yeah, going to a Super Bowl. Who cares about
Taylor's
that?
Taylor's a boob.
I'll tell you who cares about that. Adam Schefter. He joins us right after this.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today as we react to the news of the week and all the scoops that have been coming out here regarding Jerod Mayo, Mike Vrabel, offensive coordinators, and so forth. And we will be joined momentarily here by Adam Schefter to discuss all of those things. Schefter, most recently, and we played this yesterday when it came out, was very, very adamant that Mike Vrabel will have final say on pretty much everything. And that includes front office, Elliott Wolf-related stuff, which is really all I care about at this point. I mean, now it's all about the roster. Like, it's nice that you got the coach in place, and I think we said this a couple days ago. It's nice to have the coach in place. It's nice to be have that set and ready to go. Now the work begins, and that work is going to entail fixing up this roster. Are we good back there? Yes? Okay, very good. Then welcoming onto the show right now. On the phone here is ESPN's Adam Schefter, who joins us right now here on WEEI Afternoons. Adam Schefter, how are we doing today, sir?
Christian and Andy, how are we doing today?
We're doing great. I was just talking about a report that you had the other day, I think it was with Pat McAfee, regarding Mike Vrabel and how he is going to be the man, basically. You said, I think the exact words are, Vrabes is the man. That means front office. What are they, tell me what that means.
It means exactly what I said. He's the man. He's the face of the organization. He's the guy that's making decisions. He's the guy, right? Like, again, the front office is there to serve him. He's the guy. I mean, he's the man. He's the man per sources.
Is there any concern? Because if you look at this from afar, we're all human beings, and we're like, okay, Elliott Wolf stays. He wasn't here with Vrabel. And then you're bringing in Cowden, his guy. Is there any concern of how this dynamic plays out?
Well, again, it's a new scenario. It's a new situation. It's time for everybody to get adjusted to the new world that exists in Foxborough, and we'll see how that all plays out, right? Like, Elliott didn't lose any power. He didn't lose any title. He didn't lose any standing. He still has the same thing, but there's a new guy, and I think when there are new relationships, you have to prove yourself to your new coworkers, right? Always. And Elliott's very good at what he does, so he'll have the chance to show that to Mike. And you'd like to think that they'll get along and the relationship will prosper from there. And if it doesn't, then there'll be changes made, like anywhere. Like, Sean Payton goes into Denver, I think, and he's the man there. And he inherits George Payton as the GM. Well, George Payton's still there 2 years later, right? Despite any conversation. So sometimes marriages are arranged. Sometimes they're done in advance. And every relationship evolves. But all we can say is Elliott has the same job he did. Mike Vrabel's the new head coach. It's up to them to figure out how well they work together or not and go from there.
One thing that when Gerard Mayo was hired that we kept hearing, it was sort of a buzz phrase around here, Adam, was that he was going to knock down the silos and that the communication was going to flow and that it was going to be a much more collaborative process. It sounds like what you're describing is going to involve some communication and collaboration, but maybe not what they were advertising for us last year. Is that safe to say?
I don't know how to compare and contrast it. I just think when you get somebody as strong as Mike Vrabel, somebody as experienced as Mike Vrabel, somebody has to lead the charge. And in my estimation, Mike Vrabel is the leader of that franchise.
Mike Vrabel on our station yesterday said they were beginning the coordinator interviews yesterday afternoon. He said it'll be a long list of candidates. Do you have some names you could throw at us? Could you handicap that job, which seems to be the next most important job in terms of working with Drake May?
Well, it is an important job, obviously. Again, he's going to go through a long list of candidates, in part because I'm sure there are a lot of people that he'd like to talk to, in part because those are what the rules stipulate. So you have to, and you don't know what's going to transpire during the course of that process when you're talking to all different candidates. Again, I just say, like, the name had been floated out there. I think it's completely logical. Josh McDaniels is in Foxborough. He's under contract to the Raiders, so the cost is friendly. I think there's some sort of relationship between him and Mike Vrabel. They're familiar with each other's work. That's one that would make sense. Ultimately, I don't know if it'll get done in the end. He's going to have to go through his list of candidates. We'll see what happens. But that to me would be a logical one that would, I think, help the development of Drake May.
You mentioned the process, and I think the process is something a lot of people around here question, certainly last year with Gerard Mayo, and now with Mike Vrabel. There was a bit of a, I don't want to say skirting, but maybe flaunting of the Rooney Rule. Do you have any idea if the Patriots may catch some heat for that, just based on how they blew through those first couple of interviews, didn't even have two separate graphics on their social media, in order to, I don't know, expedite the Vrabel hiring? Any thought on that?
You know, I obviously there are people that are not happy with it, but the fact of the matter is they complied with the rules. Mm. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to comply with the rules in a certain way. They interviewed the candidates that they were supposed to interview. They met with Mike Vrabel. Obviously, there's a longstanding relationship there. I think everybody knew that Mike Vrabel was the favorite. They met with other candidates. They met the league's criteria. In what rule did they violate?
Do you think they violated it? The spirit of the rule? Do you think it should be changed? Does that need to be altered?
But what do you want him to change?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you. I don't have a great answer.
The rules themselves right now are clunky. They're clunky.
Right.
Why is it that certain guys can interview at certain times? Once their team reaches a certain point, then they can't interview anymore. Like, either everybody should be hired on January 1st or February 1st or whatever it is. But I know the people that put the rules in place haven't been through the hiring process. It creates all sorts of inequities and circumstances that are not ideal. And it's up to every team to figure out how to find the best candidate within the rules. And so, I mean, is spirit, like, do I think that the Patriots wanted Mike Vrabel? I do. Yes. Did they go through the, they did. Do you like it? I don't know. Whatever. They did what they had to do. So, like, how do you define, okay, well, we're going to change the spirit of the rule. To what? Like, how are you going to change that?
It's tough to change the spirit.
I don't know how you do that. Like, define that to me. It's an interesting concept. I don't know how you can do that.
We're talking
you have to be back for a full day. You have to have the guy spend the night in your city and bring him back the next day? Like, what does that mean? Like, I don't think it would have changed the result here.
I agree. I don't think it would have either. I think that they were laser focused on Vrabel and that they wanted to get it done quickly. And I think that, listen, Adam, I'm not arguing with you. I think that you're right. Like, yeah. They did. They went by the letter of the law, but they went exactly by the letter of the law. And it didn't seem like it was good faith, a good faith search, I guess. And I think that based on the way it went last time with Mayo, there wasn't really a search at all. Mayo had his contract written in that he was going to be the next head coach. And I think Patriots fans maybe were a little, dubious about that process.
You know what? But then that's their fault for not exposing themselves to more candidates and more ideas and more perspectives and educating themselves about their organization. And you know what? It hurt them in the Gerard Mayo situation because they were closed-minded. They didn't open up the search. They could have brought in other candidates and probably been educated about other people's ideas at the organization. They would have seen different perspectives. They didn't do that. Who loses? They do. What happens a year later? They make the decision to move on from Gerard Mayo. Now, you could say, well, I mean, part of that is the fact that they were closed-minded initially in the first search. And in a way, maybe that burnt them. Now, they've gone ahead. They've gone through the search. They interviewed, what was it, four different candidates in this particular case, four that I know of. I don't know whether there were any others. And they arrived at the conclusion that they were hiring somebody that they have known for a long time that has coached in the league, that has experience, that they were comfortable with. I mean, I don't know how you argue with that. Now, could they have interviewed more people, gleaned more? Absolutely. But again, they are at the point that they felt comfortable. And it's their decision to make and do what's best, what they think is best for their team. And that's what they did in this particular case.
Adam, it's been reported that Tom Brady is running the coaching search for the Raiders, but is he also just flat out running the Raiders now?
I don't know about that. I think he's heavily involved, as he should be. He has a wealth of experience and knowledge in this league, but I'm going to guess that Mark Davis still has a healthy voice in this process.
All right, last question. I am a Colorado Buffaloes alum, Adam. I know you're a Colorado guy as well. Are my Buffaloes going to have Coach Prime roam on the sidelines this upcoming season, or is he out of there?
You know, I think I asked Dion the other night, like, what's next? And he said, and I'm quoting him, I don't know. I'm like, you don't know when you're going to be talking to the next? I do not know. You don't know whether you'd be taking that job? No, I don't. You don't know whether you'd be, I don't know. I know that he's intrigued, which he said, about talking with Jerry Jones. I know he wasn't thinking of going to the NFL, but because of his relationship with Jerry Jones, he had to listen, and he did, and he is intrigued. That is clear. I also know that he also feels pretty strong about Buffalo, or the Colorado Buffaloes in Boulder, and I don't think it's a deadlock cinch at all that he's going to leave there. Now, I think here's the deal. Jerry Jones has got to go through his own process and talk to his own candidates, and he may meet somebody that he's really excited about. He may not. He knows a little bit about what he has in Dion and what Dion would bring. So if ultimately Jerry Jones decides the guy and he goes to Dion and he says, hey, I want to get this done and I'm going to offer you 4 years and $50 million, whatever the price is, then I think Dion's going to be tempted. Is it going to get to that point from Jerry Jones' perspective? I don't know. Is Dion Sanders going to be able to decide to just stay? He might. Like, there's a lot of steps that have to transpire and unfold here. I think we're still a ways away from a resolution, and it would be a hell of a story if he went. It would be a lot of fun for a lot of people, but again, like I said, there's a long way to go before we get there, and I'm not entirely comfortable or sure in saying how this story is going to unfold.
All right, Adam, speaking of things that were a lot of fun, you may have heard, I'm going to be moving to a different time slot starting next week, so this is the last time I'll be talking with you. It's been great talking with you this whole season. Really, really fun stuff. Thank you for your gracious allotment of time here talking with us, and if you ever want to call the night show, I'll keep a phone line open for you, okay?
Thank you for your time during the season. I've enjoyed it as well. We'll look forward to talking to Andy and I think Ted next week.
Yes.
And I wish you the best on the new show. And thank you for your time during this season.
All right. That's Adam Schefter, ESPN.
Thanks,
Schefter, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That's,
is he going to yell at me again
Schefter,
next week?
ESPN, maybe.
What do you want him to do to the rule?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. That's why I asked you.
He was fired up. fired up about that.
And I don't disagree with him.
I think he's right, but, you know, I was wondering if they're catching heat behind the scenes.
Also, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. Because all I read last year was Gerard Mayo, and this may be disrespectful, but this was out there, was a DEI hire. Mm. Like, they didn't do it. Like, they railroaded it to get the black coach in position.
Right.
Which
is
stupid. Now they railroaded it to get the white coach in position. So, either way, I guess they just really act hastily and have their mind on one guy, but it averages out to they got a black guy and a white guy in 2 years.
Yep.
Like, whatever.
They were both linebackers.
And I don't have a fix for it.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't know how to fix this rule. I think the rule is, you know, in the spirit of the rule, I understand why they made it. And
I was also fine with
there's a good reason to make it, but they can't now. You can't enforce it the way you want
to. You know who I would actually slap around if I were the NFL? People are going to enjoy this. Mm. Ian Rappaport.
Oh.
Like, don't have your league-owned information guy goes, well, the Patriots have interviewed Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton. Now they can hire anybody they want.
Right.
Like, the way he said it was disrespectful to the spirit of the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
someone else would have reported that.
No, I mean, but you can control his tone.
True.
And he has, like, a billion follow club. It was a business relationship. They used each other. The Patriots needed those guys, mm-hmm. and those guys want their name back out there so maybe they can get an actual job in the NFL this year. They're not going to be head coaches, but until the Patriots interviewed him, we hadn't really talked about, well, certainly hadn't talked about Pep Hamilton in forever. So he got something out of it. Did he get a head coaching job? No. Did he get an actual head coaching interview? No, he did not. But he got his name out there.
Yeah.
So it was useful to him.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, we'll see if that ends up paying off for them. Either way, you're right. Their names are back in the news, and I'm sure that was a big deal for both of those guys.
Yeah, if you did some, like, Google dive, the number of times Pep Hamilton was on the internet before the Patriots interviewed him and then after, I got to think that chart just goes a spike through the roof.
Probably. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we return, we'll talk with Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston.